This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Arizona is home to saguaro cactus, Gila monsters, antelope, jackrabbits, diamondback rattlesnakes, and more than a quarter of the nation's frogs and toads. One of the country's driest states is an amphibian wonderland during the rainy season. And with frogs in decline around the world, scientists want to make sure Arizona remains a frog haven. In the latest National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's John Burnett followed a biologist into the Sonoran Desert to study the remarkable life cycle of native frogs and toads, and to try to control an amphibian invader.
Every summer, the monsoons come to southern Arizona. In late afternoon, the desert heat creates its own weather. The dark forms of cumulonimbus clouds eclipse the immense blue canopy of sky. And with the summer rains comes Cecil Schwalbe, the frogman of the desert.
To biologists, this is Mecca, this is heaven. There's so many things that are coming out, just the amphibians, and the reproductive ants and termites, everything comes out to feed on those. The scorpions are running around carrying babies on their back. I've been in the Sonoran Desert now for 30 years, and I just feel blessed that I was able to get a job to stay here.
Of all the vertebrates that live in the great Sonoran Desert, none matches the improbability of the amphibians. For 10 months out of the year, they wait in their burrows, 3 feet under the burning desert floor, conserving energy and moisture. The sound of the first fat raindrops of the monsoon kicks off a biological checklist. The frogs climb up out of the sand, and guess what's the first thing they do?
These are two Mexican spadefoots in amplexus. And amplexus is how they describe copulation in toads and frogs. And in that, the male grasps the female either about the waist, which they call pelvic amplexus, or up by the shoulders, which they call pectoral amplexus. And they will actually stay in amplexus sometime for several hours.
During these two frenzied months of amplexing, fertilizing, feeding, egg laying, and metamorphosing, the life of herpetologist Cecil Schwalbe will be almost as frantic as that of his subjects. When a convective storm boils up, he hops in his Mitsubishi SUV, packed with dip nets, headlamps, collection bags, calipers, scales, thermometers, GPS units, and cans of chicken chili. He zooms out state highways under an achingly lovely sunset of blue and purple and ochre. He may break during the storm chase to bag some fresh roadkill, fast food for one of his 8 pet rattlesnakes. If he's lucky, Cecil and his research assistants come upon a new waterhole where they'll work all night. Here, at what he calls the ephemeral breeding pond, he has maybe 2 months to conduct his field research to learn the population status of 6 frog species.
The breeding sites are only there for such a brief time. Some of these desert amphibians can go from an egg through the tadpole stage into a young spadefoot in less than 2 weeks. It's amazing to watch. It's just almost like time-lapse photography right before your very eyes.
It's even more amazing to listen to out here in a stock pond 12 miles north of the Mexican border. The moonlight gleams off of Cecil's white hair as he cocks his ear to the familiar croaks. His headlamp beam searches the water, and dozens of little pairs of eyes shine back.
Now you hear the two species together. You hear the call like rubbing your finger on a comb. Then that more piercing screech is the Great Plains toad. So we just got a handful of each of those two species here calling. That's what he's saying. If there's any female Great Plains toads in the area, I am here.
This amphibian orgy in the desert is important because frogs are regarded as a sentinel species to the health of an ecosystem. They're so sensitive to soil, water, and air. The bad news is, frogs are in trouble around the world. Their numbers are in alarming decline in places as diverse as Australia, Costa Rica, and Israel. The possible culprits are habitat destruction, climate change, disease, and pollution. Cecil Schwalbe's work is part of the Amphibian Research and Monitoring Initiative, a project of the U.S. Department of Interior, to better understand America's frogs, toads, newts, and salamanders, to find out which ones are threatened and which ones are healthy. They don't have to worry about this species. Another night, another waterhole in the ruggedly beautiful Altar Valley southwest of Tucson, Cecil is listening to another chorus of lovelorn males bellowing for a one-night stand. But these are troublemakers. The American bullfrog is taking over wetlands throughout the West. Romanticized in pop songs and beer commercials, the bullfrog is actually a scourge out here.
The bullfrog is one of the most amazing predators we've ever run into for its size. In Arizona, over the last 15 years, we have found every vertebrate class in bullfrog stomachs. We found frogs, snakes, lizards, turtles, birds, mammals, rodents, bats even. One of the ways that they take over an ecosystem is because the bullfrog doesn't need a population of native animals to prey on necessarily. They can just cannibalize their own young. So the bullfrog maintains itself on its kids, basically.
This voracious immigrant was brought from the eastern United States to the West as a game animal and a food source, but with no natural predators like Florida snapping turtles or East Texas water snakes, the bullfrog became king of the food chain. It thrives in permanent man-made ponds like this one in the Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge. The bullfrog is believed to be the main reason for the decline of two Arizona natives, the Chiricahua leopard frog and the Mexican garter snake.
Is that a great throaty sound? I just love it.
When he hears the big bass calls, Cecil switches hats from conservationist to exterminator.
Is this the sound of the enemy?
This is the sound of the enemy.
He has speared, hand-captured, shot, trapped, and stolen the eggs of bullfrogs. He's drained ponds to dry them out. But the bullfrog is so prolific, so indestructible, it always survives the purges. So now, Cecil is doing what he does best, studying the enemy. His husky research assistant, Dennis Surrey, stands ankle-deep in pond muck, with a plug of tobacco in his cheek and a squirming frog in his hand. Just as they did with the natives, Cecil's research team is catching and marking bullfrogs, then re-catching them to learn new things, such as, how much distance can they hop between stock ponds?
This is a juvenile bullfrog. We had rain Tuesday night and Monday night, and this frog has moved 2.5 miles across the desert. You guys just drove across it. You've seen how barren and dry it is.
When the monsoons end, the desert toads and spadefoots will burrow back underground. Then it will just be Cecil Schwalbe and his old nemesis, which, despite its harmfulness, the frogman cannot help but admire. For Radio Expeditions, this is John Burnett, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. You can see and hear frogs and toads on the website npr.org.